Eric Seidler is our guest during this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Eric Seidler is a walking encyclopedia on Planned Parenthood. And right now he's going to give us a pro-life update. This is Vocal Point. Eric, welcome back to the program. Thanks again for joining us.
I'm so glad to be with you again.
All right. Since the last time you and I have talked, Unplanned, as a movie, came out. It was a pro-life independent movie. And it's actually caused quite a stir. It's interesting, too, because this is the movie that Hollywood doesn't want you to see. This is a movie that HGTV, Lifetime Channel, Hallmark Channel would not accept advertisements to help promote this message. And yet, despite all that, it did really well at the box office. And it seems like the success continues to grow.
Yeah, I mean, this film has exceeded everyone's expectations, even the optimistic plans of those who are behind it. And I think the reason for that is that this is an important sort of moment for abortion in America right now. We're seeing states like New York and Illinois and New Mexico, Maryland, either implementing or considering extreme radical pro-abortion legislation. Here in our home state of Illinois, where the Pro-Life Action League is headquarters, there's a couple of bills that would strip away every possible restriction or limit on abortion, including parental notification and including limits on late-term abortion. So we're seeing that on the one hand, but then in states like Ohio and Georgia, we're seeing efforts like heartbeat bills making it through the legislature. It looks like Georgia's about to enact such a law. I mean, it'll immediately be blocked by the courts, but it's a very powerful statement and a movement that could lead to the reversal of Roe versus Wade ultimately. So we're seeing a great deal of activity in both directions, both pro-abortion and pro-life at the state level. And I think in that context, a film like this that highlights what's going on at the nation's largest abortion provider, you know, Planned Parenthood, with their 36% market share of abortion, as it were, I think it's a really important moment, and that's part of the reason that people are so interested in seeing it, and we're seeing the impact. It's leading to more and more phone calls and emails to us and to other pro-life activist organizations from people who have seen the film and who now want to get involved in the pro-life movement more actively.
Yeah, and Abby Johnson, God bless her, here's a lady that had a change of heart. And after 8 years of volunteering slash working in Planned Parenthood, and where she was even promoted to be the director of that particular clinic, which is in Bryan, Texas, in the greater Houston area, not directly in the Houston area, but I guess the Planned Parenthood Houston hub included Bryan. And anyway, bottom line is, once she actually saw an abortion on a sonogram in her own clinic, it caused her to instantly become pro-life. And it's just a phenomenal story.
Well, one of the things that I appreciated most about this film was its frank and troubling and honest portrayal of what abortion is. I mean, from the sonogram abortion to the way that Abby's own personal experience with abortion is handled, you see not only what abortion does to its unborn victims in a way that's very compelling, you see what it does to the women who get the abortions. Some very scary things that happen. All of the heartache, all of the mixed emotions, all of the propaganda that's involved. And what it does to those who work in that industry and how kind of cold and callous they become. So that honest portrayal of abortion, I think, is very, very important. And I also really appreciated how Abby comes out of the abortion industry, and what's the first thing she does? She reaches out to the pro-life movement, and then she comes out on the sidewalk. She gets involved in outreach at the abortion clinic, and I think that's really significant. She doesn't become a lobbyist for pro-life legislation. She doesn't run for office. Those are wonderful things, but she does the thing that anyone can do. Not all of us can write a piece of legislation. Not all of us can lobby or run for office, but everyone can come out to an abortion clinic and pray. Everyone can get out there in their own community and be a voice for the unborn child. And that's, I think, a message that people are taking to heart, and it's inspiring people to do what she did, which is to take that sense of that injustice, that outrage, and even that sense of guilt at one's own complicity or one's involvement or one's complacency, whatever the case may be, and turn that into direct action on the front lines.
And one thing that she herself has gotten involved in, and the movie mentions this at the very end, just with title graphics, she founded an outreach called And Then There Were None, and the goal of that is to help people that work in the clinics, like herself, to come out of that and to, you know, plug in somewhere else, you know, get a job elsewhere. But she said that, you know, if we have basically no abortion workers, then we'll have no abortion clinics, and then we'll have no abortions. And already she's been able to reach 500 people this way. So it's really a fantastic ministry. And by the way, one of the things she says in her video about this, she says nobody, you know, when they're growing up, thinks, oh, I want to work in an abortion industry. You know, I want to be involved in abortion. And which is interesting, because there's a conflict right now. The other side is really trying to hype abortion. I'm sure you saw that video where an adult is talking with children. You know, abortion's not so bad. You know, comment on that. They're trying to sell abortion to the next generation as if it's something good.
Yes, I mean, and it's discouraging to see on one level because of the lies and the propaganda. That particular video was just absolutely outrageous. This woman talking to kids and using that whole kind of emotional argument of, well, I had an abortion and I needed to do it, and pretending that it's some sort of abstract choice about whether you're ready to be a parent, rather than confronting the fact that you already are one when you're pregnant, or you and your boyfriend or your spouse have gotten pregnant, that, you know, you are already parents now, and it's a matter of whether you're going to confront that or you're going to reject that child. But at the same time, it does show a sense of desperation, and I think that desperation is coming from a real awareness that they are not succeeding, and that America has not embraced abortion. They're kind of going all in. They used to talk about keeping abortion, you know, safe, legal, and rare. They don't care about safe because they're fighting every law that would require abortion facilities to adhere to safety standards. It's already legal, of course, but rare, they don't talk about that anymore. They're shouting their abortions. That's a tagline we keep hearing, shout your abortion. And I think that's born of a desperation. They're realizing that the soft pedaling and any kind of acknowledgement that there's a moral question about abortion really just plays into our hands. Because if abortion should be rare, why? Why make something rare if it's so wonderful? You know, once you admit that it should be rare, you've opened the door to asking questions about it, about, you know, what it is. And so they've kind of circled the wagons, and they're really going to the extreme measures. But I think it only helps us because it shows who they really are, you know, promoting things like allowing a baby to die after it survived an abortion. You know, it's just this cold-blooded kind of thing most people just can't sympathize with at all.
So the whole idea of kind of shout your abortion, if I could tell a quick anecdote, D. James Kennedy, the founder ultimately of this radio station, said he gave an anecdote in one of his sermons. He said the janitor found the minister's notes, you know, on Monday morning from the sermon the day before. And at one point he noted in the margin, the minister had written, handwritten, "Argument weak. Pound pulpit here." In other words, you know, but I think that's such a great, you know, anecdote. It's like, so you're saying that shout your abortion is like a way of them saying, hey, we really don't like this, but, you know, we're going to pretend that we do.
Right. I mean, they've realized that any kind of acknowledgement that there's a moral quandary with abortion, or something that should make it rare, or something that makes it, you know, an anguishing decision, all that language leads into asking questions. Why? Why is it so anguishing? Why should it be rare? And so they celebrate it. And I don't think it resonates with the people at all. Even in New York, where they just passed that law, something like, I think I saw 79% of New Yorkers are opposed to those measures.
Wow.
And let's hope it hits them in the ballot box and we can see a reversal of that legislation. But it's at least been helpful to us in states like Illinois, where our legislators have seen the reaction in New York. And so far, we've been able to hold that legislation off, and pray that that continues through the rest of the year.
Tell us about what they're trying to do in Illinois. And by the way, are any of these laws that are proposed, would any of them kind of basically run roughshod over, let's say, a doctor that doesn't want to participate in abortion, or a nurse that wants nothing to do with abortion?
Well, the state of Illinois already has a law HB 1564, I believe it was. It's amazing how many of these numbers you learn as a pro-life activist. That was enacted a couple of years ago that would require physicians and pregnancy centers and other, you know, conscientious objectors to make abortion referrals. That is currently being litigated, and there are some Supreme Court precedents that will hopefully lead to a positive ruling. And there's already an injunction against that law being enforced in the state. So it's already kind of difficult for conscience rights here in Illinois. But the Reproductive Health Act, as it's called, depending on how it's interpreted by the courts, could lead, again, to an attack on conscience rights. The problem with these kind of laws is that their language is very vague. This law talks about a fundamental right to get an abortion, and it also talks about the child in the womb. They don't use the word child, but the you know, products of conception, the fetus or the embryo, explicitly has no rights in the state of Illinois. So that could lead to, say, a criminal defense attorney whose client is facing fetal homicide charges. Let's say a guy beat his girlfriend up because she was pregnant and he wanted her to have an abortion. She wouldn't do it. He beats her up. She miscarries the baby. He could be charged with fetal homicide in the state of Illinois right now. But a defense attorney could come along and say, you can't charge him with taking away the right to life of an unborn child if the unborn child is explicitly denied any right to life by Illinois law. So the fetal homicide law could be undermined or even swept away. Other things the law explicitly does, it strips away any limits on why a woman would get an abortion, especially late in pregnancy. It takes away the gestational limit so that she could have an abortion at 30 weeks, 36 weeks, and only one physician needs to agree to it instead of two, which is the current rule, which puts some brakes on late-term abortion. Our analysts who've looked at this law, the lawyers who've pored over it, say that it would make it the most radical pro-abortion state in the union, and that was explicitly the goal of our new governor, J.B. Pritzker, when he endorsed this legislation. He wanted to make Illinois the safe haven for abortion in the entire country, and that's exactly what the Reproductive Health Act would do.
How many weeks pregnant or whatever would they allow abortions up to? I mean, in other words, what do you know the number of weeks? No limits?
There'd be no limits.
So in other words, not just second trimester, but third trimester up to the moment of birth.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
You know, there's window dressing about, you know, to safeguard the health of the woman, but the way that it's worded, there's no teeth to that, and it could be for any reason. If the abortionist is willing to do the abortion and the woman wants it, that's all that matters before the law. It totally decriminalizes abortion in the state. It takes any sense that there could be a criminal abortion or an abortion that is wrong or immoral or shouldn't happen is completely wiped out of the state codes. That's right. What we're seeing here.
All right, we have
In Georgia, we're seeing a heartbeat bill, so it's the picture is moving in both directions.
Yes. We have a minute and a half left, and we can go back to this film Unplanned. They had something in the film that I've heard about for years, but most people don't know about it, the POC room. Talk about that, and what does that really mean for abortion?
Well, POC stands for products of conception. It's a euphemism for not having to say this is the corpse of a human being who we just killed through an abortion. Most chillingly, there's a moment when one of her Abby's fellow workers at Planned Parenthood says POC actually stands for pieces of children. And you can understand why in a kind of, you know, death camp environment you'd have to come up with jokes like that. It's chilling. But this is part of the abortion procedure, is piecing back together the body parts to make sure that nothing has been left behind. Because when that happens, and it happens often enough, we see the ambulances, we get the 911 tapes. If there's a piece of that body left behind, that can lead to horrible hemorrhaging, to infection and death. And that is sadly what happens to some who choose abortion. And I appreciate that the film frankly presented that part of the abortion you know, industry to viewers.
Yeah, that's amazing. All right, Eric Scheidler, again, thanks for sharing with us, prolifeaction.org. Eric, keep up the great work.
You too, Drake.